a great chance. You should be thrilled.
Thrilled? There could be a death penalty.
Not for the lawyer.
Seriously, when the going gets tough, you don't want a criminal lawyer, right? You want a criminal lawyer.
Ladytrons and Gentlebots.
Objection. In the absence of pants, defense and suspenders serve no purpose.
I'm going to allow them for now.
Thank you.
I may be a simple country apple chicken, but I know when we're finger-licked. What do you say we plead insanity?
Welcome to Opening Arguments, the podcast that pairs an inquisitive interviewer with a real-life lawyer. This podcast is sponsored by the law offices of P. Andrew Torres, LLC, for entertainment purposes, is not intended as legal advice, and does not form an attorney-client relationship. Don't take legal advice from a podcast.
Hey, Andrew. It's bonus question time number two, which of course means we got ourselves another sponsor. And what's more, this sponsor is yet again one that I can so easily talk about from the heart because I use it. Audible. Who doesn't want to use Audible? If you aren't using Audible, you need to be using Audible. Audible.com/lawpod is the promo. It'll get you the 30 days free. It'll get you the free audiobook. Guys, go listen to a book on Audible. We won't give you the whole long ad here, but I mean, really, it's so useful.
Yeah, seriously.
I do it while I'm driving. I do it while I'm doing chores. It's a way to get more information into your brain.
Look, if you listen, I don't know what that was.
I thought it started great.
No, I heard a little clink on my end.
I didn't.
It's just mine.
Okay.
Yeah, I talked about this in the main ad on the plebeian version of the show where they have to listen to it. But I use Audible for two things. I use it for nonfiction books and for the great courses. And Noah actually published a fantastic blog post that I downloaded. And seriously, I mean, again, I talked about this on the podcast. I'm using it as a guideline for, you know, what great courses I should share while I'm homeschooling my son. Anybody who's listening to us on Opening Arguments, is going to enjoy something like that.
That means they already like knowledge. They already like being filled with lots of knowledge, things they didn't know before. That's why I listen to Andrew. That's the only reason I listen to him. I wouldn't listen to him otherwise. No,
it's not my humor. That's for sure.
Yeah. So audible.com/lawpod, you know, if you try it out, it helps us out. It helps you out. So, and with that said, thank you for being our patrons. Over. Let's get to a bonus question for you guys to make it all worth it. I was just going to say,
this is so good. Everybody wants us to do this, and we are only going to give it away to patrons.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you know this, Andrew, but Kellyanne Conway has apparently shilling Ivanka Trump's products on TV. The quote was, "I'm going to give it a free commercial here. Go buy it today," which is it's unbelievable. Let's just pause and recognize that someone who works in the Trump administration did it like a commercial. Do you have any recollection of that ever happening with anyone else ever in history class or anything?
Can I point out that obviously the answer to that is no. I want to point out that during the presidential campaign, during the general election campaign, people made a serious argument that Hillary Clinton was too unethical to be president because of some convoluted thing about contributions to the Clinton Foundation. Right. So where it's documented that 95% of donations to the Clinton Foundation are spent. Right. It's one of the best charities on earth in terms of 95%, 95 cents out of every dollar actually goes to fighting AIDS in Africa and shit like that. But no, the idea was, well, if the prime minister of Togo gives a whole bunch of money to the Clinton Foundation, then 5% could wind their way into Chelsea Clinton's pie. And that argument was made by people who seriously voted against Hillary Clinton, and yet you have the president's official mouthpiece on TV going, "I'm going to give a commercial." If there were no law, right, this would still be horrifying, right? Yeah. Like this conduct would be unconscionable.
Speaking of that, so we've seen, I've seen people have asked us this. I've seen it on Twitter. People are citing some sort of law. It's a jumble of letters and numbers to me, but is that appropriate? I was wondering just from the skepticism that I naturally have, plus have gotten from listening to this show, is that BS? Is that a real law someone's citing? What's your verdict there, Judge Andrew?
Yeah, so no, this is good. And this is part of what's going to be fun in doing this question. You notice when I cite federal laws, I cite them in the form 18 U.S.C., 1182.
Right, I'll pretend I've noticed that. Sure.
Yeah. So the first is what volume of the book it is, right? So when it's 18, that is literally book number 18 that you pull off the shelves, right? USC is an abbreviation for the US code. And then the last is the page and section number that it's on, right? So literally that's how you would find it. If you go into a library, you would say, I want to see the US code.
You know, I feel really dumb, but I've never thought of that before. Like I never thought of it as like, yeah, it's just telling you where physically to go get it.
Yeah. And so you would, you know, you would pull it up and you would say, okay, there's the volume. I'm going to turn to the section number. So instantly, I love the fact that like our listeners are sending us citations now. Like that just makes me feel so happy. Mm-hmm. But you'll notice the citation in this one is 5 CFR 2635.702. And the first thing you're like is, well, USC, US code, what the hell does CFR stand for, right? And the answer is it stands for the Code of Federal Regulations. And if you think about those words, right, like a regulation isn't a law. And we have talked, this dovetails nicely with our discussion, how Congress can delegate authority to executive agencies to make rules that help interpret how laws are to be applied. Right. And so in this case, there is an executive agency called the Office of the Federal Register, and it is delegated the authority to promulgate rules. I'm not going to go into how it does that because no one cares. But what you need is you need a law to tell the OFR that they can make a rule, which will then be codified in order for the citation to make any sense. So here's what that law is. The law is 5 USC section 7301, and it says presidential regulations. And it's a really, really simple one-line law. It says the president may prescribe regulations for the conduct of employees in the executive branch, right?
Okay. Right?
So
then from says, there, the regulation part that is cited, that's where it'll actually be spelled out. Is that what you're saying?
Right. That's exactly right. Okay. So this fits in our AK, you know, 48 example, right? Like this is the law just says the president can say what kind of ethical behavior should govern employees. And then the regulation that was passed that is codified at 5 CFR 2635.701 says, 0.702, sorry, use of public office for private gain. An employee shall not use his public office for his own private gain, comma, for the endorsement of any product, service, or enterprise, comma, or for the private gain of friends, relatives, or persons with whom the employee is affiliated in a non-governmental capacity, including blah, 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 blah. Okay. So that's totally clear, right? Kellyanne Conway is a federal employee, right? She's an executive branch employee. She is officially counselor to the president, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And she used her position to endorse a line of products of her boss. It's a blatant violation of the rule, which in turn is a violation of the law. Right?
Is this going to be another thing, though, where we say, Andrew, can't we finally get Trump on something, or at least Conway on something? And you'll say, well, no one's going to do anything about it. So whatever.
I refer back to, well, this is actually a call forward to next Tuesday, where I pass along a message from my friend who is who's a federal prosecutor and is a, you know, dedicated civil servant. And you to bring a case, you have to get sign off from the department head. And those department heads are appointed by Trump. You can, you know, there is an independent prosecutor statute that is going to require congressional sign off. So, I mean, you know, it is, it's just, look, we're in a situation right now where the question is, when does this boil over and when do Republicans turn and say, we're not carrying
water.
Are
we in a situation where if somehow by some miracle Trump, you know, and we all live to 2018, which I that's 50-50 shot at best. But if
we
get to the midterms,
that's a huge risk. I mean, but that's a side topic, but keep going.
Well, I was just going to say if we get to the midterms and let's just pretend the Democrats just sweep everything and we gain power back in the House and the Senate, is it the case that once that happens, it's like, okay, time to now punish Trump for everything he's done and easily impeach him?
Yeah, look, like if the question there is going to depend on the reality of the political environment, right? So if you assume that the 2018 midterm elections are fought over, do you support President Trump, right? And Democrats are running commercials that show, right? Like, so, you know, I'm Andrew Torres, I am challenging an incumbent Republican, and I run the commercial that says, you know, in 2017, you know, with the grainy footage that's, you know, shows Trump getting a bag of money with his like goofy smiling face that says, you know, in 2017, you know, Donald Trump appointed his son-in-law in violation of the Nepotism Act and accepted this money and had his mouthpiece.
It'll sound like this: Donald Trump employed his son-in-law, and that's something like that.
Yeah, it'll sound like David Smalley being especially sarcastic, which I think we can say because we're on the Patreon.
Yeah, it's Patreon only.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Yeah. So and so I run those ads that say, yeah, you want to vote for me and you want to vote out this asshole because he's allowing Donald Trump to steal money and send flacks like Kellyanne Conway on national television to plug his daughter's garbage. And I win, right? And suppose I win in a Republican plus five district, right? And Democrats across the country unseat a bunch of incumbent Republicans, win all the toss-up races, and they do so on a mandate basically to go after Trump, then yeah, right? Like,
yeah,
that political environment will change drastically.
I can't imagine that won't happen, but I,
right. Yeah. Well, and if that's why we want to keep on this, right? And that's why I keep pointing out like the, I realize it's frustrating, but like sort of the importance of building consensus and the importance of saying, look, this is wrong and we're logging it and we wish we could do something about it. We can't, but we can continue to remind our elected officials, that we're not going to tolerate this. And then, you know, if that happens in the election, then you really made this point, I love the way you made this point on SIO 14, which dropped today. And you were talking about Marco Rubio and how, I mean, he doesn't come up for re-election until 2022, right?
Yep.
And that, like, you know, if ever there was a moment for you to display a molecule of courage, right, it's now as opposed to, yeah, you know.
He's proven he does not have a molecule of courage.
No. When somebody comes out and says, I don't really like being a senator, but eventually I'd like to be president, send me back to the Senate, and people do it. Like, anyway,
yeah.
I've been on that.
We could talk every show about that, and I would still be mad, and I would still not get it. I would never be satisfied.
I agree. But now, I mean, contrast that with, right, so if somebody like Marco Rubio is so afraid of losing re-election, right, like that's what he's doing, right? He's making a calculus of, I don't want to make an enemy of a Republican president that could hurt me politically because I want to be president someday, right? Now imagine you have Republicans in safe districts losing because they're supporting Trump. Then anybody who has any chance, really, Mitch McConnell probably isn't going to change. You know, yeah, Jason Chaffetz is still going to be an asshole. But like, you know, people who have a chance of losing in 2018, in 2020, are all of a sudden going to come out and are going to do everything they can to burnish their independent cred. Right. And they're going to come out.
So we really just need to show the hell up in 2018 and 2020.
Show the hell up would be an awesome, like,
slogan,
repeated tagline, right? Yeah. Like, I keep saying elections have consequences, which has become my tagline, but show the hell up would be a better one.
Something that I think I've mentioned elsewhere that I shouldn't even get into now, but I'm just so mad about it. What, you know, what's the biggest bullshit thing about, like, the, oh, it's Hillary is the problem. Hillary's the problem. The DNC, whatever. Even if you accept, even if fully, like, we just sat here, you and I, Andrew, were like, you know what? Yeah, Hillary's the worst. The DNC totally screwed up by endorsing her, all that crap. That's still not an excuse for Democrats not to have shown up and voted for Congress. Like, so if that were the real problem, then every Democrat would have showed up and been like, well, I'm just going to not vote for Hillary, or I'll write somebody in. I'll draw a smiley face on the presidential thing. But, you know, I'm going to show up and vote for senators and Democrat and representatives, you know, make sure that the Democrats are still in control of that. The truth is people are just lazy and they didn't go vote. Like, that's what the real problem is. And if you need to be inspired, then you're doing it wrong. Like, anyway.
Yeah. Well, and that is the counter argument that, that people on the other side are making, which is, you know, everybody was just so mad at the whole process from start to finish, and it was so rigged for Hillary Clinton that they stayed home. And in order to
solve that, they just threw the whole world into disarray and gave control to idiots. Yeah.
Yeah. Know. Well, and so there are two responses to that, right? The first is that's an unbelievably selfish approach.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get what I want, so therefore I don't care if the world burns. And number two, and I've said this before, but that approach is... I'm trying not to be like old man yells at cloud here, but like,
yeah, sorry, trying very hard to not be that.
You literally, like, you have to, this has to be the first election that you've ever paid attention to come away with that. Right. Like,
yeah,
this is right. Right. I mean, there's
I'll be honest, this was the first election I ever paid attention to,
but like, okay. But in presidential primaries, party leaders line up behind the institutional candidate. And if you're an insurgent candidate, you face an unbelievable uphill challenge, and everybody is out to stop you no matter the cost. And I've made this point before. I've talked about how I supported Howard Dean in 2004. And like, Howard Dean would go on Hardball on MSNBC, and like, Chris Matthews would basically insult him for an hour, right? Like, because Chris Matthews was strongly connected to Democratic Party insiders. The Democratic Party insiders hated Howard Dean. And let me point out, Howard Dean was the two-term governor of Vermont, right? Like, it's not like Howard Dean was a 75-year-old socialist who'd never been a Democrat before, right? Like, he was a Democrat. He just wasn't the right kind of Democrat. And they all wanted John Kerry, even though many of us knew John Kerry was going to be a terrible candidate, and he was. And like, what the DNC did to Howard Dean in 2004 is so much worse than what the DNC did allegedly. And I'm not going to say allegedly. Like, the DNC strategized about how can we make sure Bernie Sanders doesn't get the nomination. They absolutely did that. Debbie Wasserman Schultz was in the tank for Hillary Clinton. She absolutely was. Okay. That's always the way it is. Okay. You don't have to like it, right? You can say, well, it's not fair. It's not fair, right? You know, that the Ed Rollins, like, politics ain't beanbag, you know, like, I don't even know what that means other than like, it's okay to cheat when we're in a primary. Like, that's what happened. And the idea, I made this example on Facebook, the other day, in 1988, the Dukakis campaign was the campaign that circulated and ran the ad of out of context clips of Joe Biden giving his stump speech, and then Neil Kinnock, the UK Labour politician, giving his speech that became the... Hi, Lily.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not editing this, so...
Oh, yeah. All right, fine. Yeah.
That's the dog that gets in every show, Lily. Just that's so you guys know.
That's what you get on Patreon.
Yeah.
That became the basis of the... Joe Biden is a plagiarist and therefore can't be the nominee, right? And
I don't know anything about this.
You don't know any? Okay, no. So brief history, like in 1988, prior to the election, everyone thought
it
would be.
Oh, I was two. Yeah, I didn't start paying attention to elections until I was three. So it was the 2 years.
I was super quick. So going into 1988, everybody thought the nominee would be Colorado Senator Gary Hart. Okay. But he was the one who was caught on board a yacht called the Monkey Business with a 25-year-old blonde model named Donna Rice sitting on his lap. Back then, I mean, you had to take a picture with, like, you know, one of those cameras where you get under the blanket and, like, you know, I mean, it was not like somebody snapped, you know, there was no TMZ, right? Like, he had to affirmatively be like, no. And not only did he pose with her on his lap, but they posed on the, I don't know nautical terms, but like on the back of the boat, like right over the name of the boat. So it literally is old politician dude who wants to be president and would have been president, hot blonde, and then captioned Monkey Business, right? Like you might as well have said, like, I have started my own newspaper, the I Will Never Be President newspaper, right?
Yeah.
Like it was unbelievable. And then you know, he taunted report. It was weird. So anyway, so Hart was going to win. He was like the Hillary Clinton of 1988. And then he imploded when that picture came out. And then everyone else was sort of scrambling. Joe Biden, we've talked about, he was chair of the Senate Judiciary. He was the youngest senator ever when he was elected. He was elected like at age 29. You have to be 30, but you know, his birthday was such that it was okay, right? He was considered one of the future stars of the Democratic Party. And so he declared, he was fresh off the Bork nomination, having steered the Democrats through that. Like it was, he had a really impressive resume as a young go-getter. And then this anonymous tape circulated that showed Biden, what appeared to be plagiarizing from Neil Kinnock, who was a UK labor politician, from his speeches. Now, the reality is that Biden started his stump speech, the first draft of the stump speech, gave credit to Neil Kinnock, quoted him. And then, like, when you give a stump speech 500 times, right, you start polishing lines and editing down. And by the end of that, you know, he was just sort of re-delivering the line. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it began kind of with an attribution. So it was sort of a nothing attack. It turned out then in college, he'd had a paper where a professor had accused him of plagiarism and he'd gotten like an F on the paper. So anyway, as a result, the meme became Biden is a plagiarist, and all of a sudden he went from plausible president to nothing, right?
Yeah.
And that attack ad was developed and circulated by the Dukakis campaign. And then it turned out, but they did it anonymously, right? And so then there was an investigation and they figured out Dukakis did it. It was his chair. It was his campaign strategist, John Sasso, and Dukakis fired Sasso. And then won the nomination, brought in incompetent morons who mismanaged his campaign, lost a very winnable 1988 race, posed in a tank with an oversized helmet on his head. All sorts of bad stuff happened. But I have kind of two takeaways from that, right? So the first is Hillary Clinton did not run a single negative attack ad on Bernie Sanders, right? There was zero of what you see in presidential primaries all the time. It's perfectly legitimate to run attack ads on your opponent. And she didn't, not one. Okay. And the easiest one is, you know, it's 1972. The United States and the Soviet Union are in an intractable Cold War. And guess who decided to vacation in the Soviet Union for his honeymoon? That's right, Bernie Sanders. Right? Like, that is so disqualified. Like, literally, nobody knows this, and nobody over the age of 45 in this country would vote for Bernie Sanders if they knew that, right? Like, it's instantly disqualified. Like, 1972 was the height of the Cold War, and he went into enemy territory for a vacation. Okay, yeah. That would be like, I mean, if Ted Cruz took his honeymoon in North Korea, right? Like, Dennis Rodman was his best man, right? Like, you'd be like, okay. dude will never be president, right?
Yeah.
So there was none of that. There were zero attack ads. And I will say, I always thought it was unfair that the Dukakis campaign had to fire Sasso because, you know, the argument is, well, you know, would you rather them not run the ad and Biden have been the nominee and for George Bush to have run those ads? Like, no, like, look, you know, you should have a vigorous primary system. You should run, you know, I don't know where the line is, but like, if there's a tactic that is going to destroy a candidate and you don't unleash it in the primary and his opponent unleashes it in the general, then you've done your party and your country a major disservice. So, you know, and I think, and look, like I have said, Hillary Clinton didn't run a single attack ad. And a part of that was because the numbers favored her and she didn't need to, right? Like if there'd ever been a serious chance that she was going to lose the nomination, you know, then she would have run an attack ad, which also makes all the like conspiracy theories just sort of beyond stupid. Like, but you know, we don't need to go there.
Yeah. So this was a question about, no,
I know this is something about Kellyanne Conway.
No, but anyway, whatever,
you get our rants on a bonus episode.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So. Yeah. Bonus rants. Oh man. The point of all that is go freaking vote. I think is the point of it. In 2018, show the hell up. Is that what it was? Get the hell out.
Get the hell out is the wrong. That's what I say to people who come down to the basement when I'm recording.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I appreciate the rant. I hope everybody enjoys as much as I certainly do. And I hope our patrons enjoy the bonus content here. There you go. 27 minutes of bonus content. All you had to do was hear an ad for audible.com/lawpod, which you should absolutely go right now and do. Free for 30 days. Guys, I got news for you. You can sign up and then cancel if you don't like it. But you will.
Yeah. And as we said with our HelloFresh ad, right, like we've gotten two testers on these ads and we are being judged based on the performance of them. So we think the HelloFresh went over well. We're hopeful that they're going to place with us again. You guys already support us. So we know, you know, you are invested in seeing the show do well and it helps. So if you were thinking about doing, look, like if you don't like audiobooks, don't do it. Right. Mm-hmm. But if you were thinking about it, if you were ever like, oh, hey, it might be neat to try this out, like do the free month, right? Try it out.
Absolutely.
Cancel if you hate it, but use our code LAWPOD so we get credit and they come back and give us
guys,
more money.
I just came up with a perfect tagline I should have used in the real ad. Guys, it's use audible.com. It's an easy D. Anyway. Nice. All right. Nice. So thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the bonus question and rant, apparently. Both of our rants.
Sorry, 1988 election is just,
I know. My rants are a quick like couple sentences of like, God damn it, go vote, people. And then yours is like, okay, 1988 election. Picture a young Joe Biden. Was
It's true.
But yours are so much more substantive, and I learn something every time. All right, let's get out of here. Thanks again, guys. Yep. Thanks, Andrew. Lots of fun. Yep. We'll see you next time.
Adios.
Stop breaking the law, asshole!
This has been Opening Arguments with Andrew and Thomas. If you love the show and want to support future episodes, please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/law. If you can't support us financially, it'd be a big help if you could leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever podcast delivery vehicle you use. And be sure to tell all your friends about us. For questions, suggestions, and complaints, email us at openarguments@gmail.com. The show notes and links are on our website at www.openargs.com. Be sure to like our page on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @openargs. Until next time. This podcast is a production of Opening Arguments Media, LLC. All rights reserved.